Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. To another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, and I'm your host, Ronald the Tay, and today's date is April 18th, 2018. And remember, the slogan for our show is, if there's power in numbers, then the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. And
life is a song worth singing.
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your weekly host, Ronald the Tay, and you know the call-in number, 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And you know, if you join us here on a weekly basis on the format of Blog Talk Radio, which we are streaming live over the social media, over Facebook, Twitter, link, and as the young Z generation says, and whatever. But this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies. To address the high economic effects of energy costs that are historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black American-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives to bring down the under and unemployment rate of young African American men and women. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts on climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information about this initiative by logging on to our website at Positive Change. That's Positive Change, PositiveChange. P as in Paul, C as in cat.com, and clicking on our GoFundMe link, and you will see a campaign mission statement there, and you will be able to get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website. The show is also sponsored by Skyden Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaking bureau management. And for further information, you can contact Scotton Communications Network, that's Scotton Communications Network.com. And that contact person there is Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton today. Now, for those who join us on a weekly basis, you know we always try to bring to you news that you can definitely use. And on today's topic, we'll be discussing middle-class families are set to receive solar panels with no upfront cost. Now, the Alternative Energy Solar Project has been made a as a promotional manager over the Solar Affordable Verified Establishment, SAVE, a project, one of the country's first dedicated solar repayment systems for middle-class families. The goal is to install arrays to over 32,000 homes by the end of next year. One of the benefits is to reduce electric rate programs for homeowners, which is responsible for the installation costs, maintenance costs, and upkeep costs, as they are not owners of the panels. Additionally, if you are interested in owning the panels, there are programs where the owner can purchase with no money out of pocket on them, so to own them outright. Now, SAVE is a national program. As I indicated, it's a nationwide program. The program was originated to help and notify customers about funds which have been raised to hit the solar initiative. These funds have been set aside for programs assisting households in assessing solar technology. SAVE is one of the two targeted programs that resulted provide significant solar capabilities for electric systems for qualifying single-family homeowners originally scheduled to sunset in 2016, but the program has been extended to year 2022. Now, the program's objectives of this program was to create broad community engagement with solar in affordable housing, to provide education for homeowners on the benefits of energy efficient and solar technologies, to enroll and refer qualifying families to providers for energy efficient services, to enable families to access money saving solar technology for providing no-cost solar opportunities, to provide additional opportunities for community volunteers to participate, and for the public-private partnerships supporting communities to develop such local green job training and workforce development programs by enabling job trainees to participate in solar electric system installations. Now, this gives you a very, very quick synopsis of this particular program. Now, as we drill down in our conversation and look at programs in the DMV market area, for all of those who are not familiar with the term DMV market area, we're talking about the Baltimore, Washington, Maryland, and Virginia market area here in your nation's capital. There was a Solar for All Congress, which was held at the University of the District of Columbia on this past Saturday, April 14th. And they talked about one of these initiatives which have been launched here in Washington, D.C. And this particular program is referred to as the Solar for All program. Now, the Solar for All program is the District of Columbia's new energy initiative. The district goal is to reduce the energy bills of at least 100,000 low-income households by year 2032. The families with income area medium incomes, AMIs, that will qualify for the program, household of four, making under $75,050. Household of three, making under $67,550. Household of two, making under $60,050. Household of one, making under $52,050. $550. This specific Solar for All project is open only to single-family homes or row houses, townhouses. For other solar opportunities, please log on to doee.dc.gov/solarforall. Once again, that website is doee.dc.gov/solarfall. Now, this goes into a number of different areas, and we're going to touch on and we're going to hit upon these areas. You can log on to our website at www.positivechangepc.com. That, once again, that's positivechangepc.com. And you can click on our News and Events tab, and you will be able to, under our News and Events tab, click on that link, and you'll be able to watch a very, very interesting video called Solar for All: How We Got Here and What's Next. The Solar United Neighborhoods was live on Saturday, and I must say that's an understatement. The district has an ambitious plan to cut electric bills in half for low-income, moderate-income residents while making solar accessible to everyone. Take a deep dive into the Solar for All DC program, past and present, and you can get more information and click on to this link and listen to this very informative panel, which was held at the University of the District of Columbia Dave Clark Law School on Saturday. Now, also on Saturday, the Solar for All DC Neighborhoods United had another panel called Solar Energy Equity and Health, which was held at, of course, the Dave Clark Law School at the University of District of Columbia, which basically looks at solar energy equity and health. And yours truly, Ronald Bethea, I was one of those presenters on that panel, and you can go to our website, once again, at positivechangepc.com, and you'll be able to click on that link, and you'll be able to get more information about what was said. And that information is, as I said, was very, very, I think, very, very informative. We hit upon a number of areas, which I'm going to take a little time to share with you today, as we talked about the issues that are constantly arising when we are able to go to and participate in these type of forums. Now, one of the things that we talked about was, and topics, was the issue of the economic impact of climate change on the black community. EPA loosens the Clean Air Act rules for major pollution sources, a death sentence for communities of color. The NAACP Environmental Legal Defense Fund published a report stating that African Americans who reside near the production facilities, including fire power plants, nuclear power plants, biomass plants, are more likely to suffer from the negative health impacts for a prolonged exposure to smog, lead, asbestos, mercury, arsenic, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, and other toxins than any other group of Americans. Disproportionately compared to any other forms or types of energy. Prolonged exposure to these toxins from these production facilities are tied to birth defects, heart disease, asthma attacks, lung disease, learning difficulties, and even lower property values. Now, let's think about that. When we begin to look at the mortality rates and the high levels of asthma in communities of color with our young people, this is a direct correlation to this information that I just read to you. Approximately 68% of all African Americans live within a 30-mile radius. Once again, approximately 68% of African Americans live within a 30-mile radius of a coal-fired plant, which produces the largest proportions of energy compared to any other production type. Now, this is also backed up by a recent report which was released by the Department of Energy, NOPR, cost, future cost projections. This is an article that you can find on our website by clicking on our news and events tab or the site. A new analysis by resources in the future finds that the U.S. Department of Energy proposed cost recovery to support coal and nuclear facilities would cost the American public more than $250 billion over a quarter century and result in 27,000 premature deaths. Now, that's not a joke. That's funny. But I'm not here doing to do stand up on the airways of solar now and the future with its economic impact on black America. But this is a joke. But it's not funny. EPA Director Scott Pruitt suggests to scientists that he would challenge them to a public debate on TV over the issue of climate change. Based on all of the scientific evidence that the scientists have in doing so, in that arena, on the issue of climate change. We also looked at the politics of disaster. Can we say Katrina? Most of you remember the flood, which brought George Walker Bush did such a poor job in voting and handling of the Katrina accident that, in fact, it put him in a position where he had to sign into law the Green Jobs Act of 2007, which was authored by Van Jones. Most of you know him as a MSNBC commentator who is a Yale-educated attorney who has written two bestsellers in the area of the green economy. And he has also served as a White House policy advisor under President Obama's administration, which the Republicans chose to force him out. But when we began to look at the issue of where did the money go from the storm recovery in New Orleans, Dr. Beverly Wright, a Hurricane Katrina survivor, tells how during the recovery efforts, vulnerable populations were displaced and exploited in the aftermath of the hurricane. And this has repeated itself time and time again. But we're looking at, and we've taken a hard look at the economics of who gets these contracts, and they're not coming to African-American contractors or businesses. We also discussed the fact that everybody's bumping their chest about the large growth in jobs that had taken place under the Obama administration. Now, the fact of the matter is, this renewable energy industry did not take off until President Obama and the Green Jobs Act, which was codified by Congress, which Van Jones wrote, resulted in 2008 into $500 million in workforce development training. All 50 states and the District of Columbia received $10 million in funding. I had the privilege of having Mr. Mark Davis, who is the CEO and founder of WD Solar and Urban Solar, who is based here in Washington, D.C., and one of the 11 solar manufacturing installation companies out of 9,929 solar installation companies doing business in the United States of America. We only have 11 companies. We have 5 of those companies here in the Baltimore, Washington market area. As I indicated, Mr. Mark Davis with WDC Solar. We have Mr. Gilbert Campbell of Boat Energy. We have Mr. Damian Strong of ARS. And we have Darrell Green, NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer, retired from the Burgundy and Gold. That's how we refer to the hometown team, who has a construction company that also installs solar panels. And you have Biff Energy out of Baltimore, Maryland. And we've had the opportunity of having there Mrs. Corinna Beck, who's their data operations manager, to be a guest on the airways of this format, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact, to talk about Biff Energy and the outstanding work that they're doing. Now, these were just a few of the talking points that I hit upon in my presentation, but the bottom line was the acquisition cost of one customer who goes solar. That means a homeowner that decides to put a solar system on one's home is costing the solar installation companies about $6,000 per customer, on the which is the national average. This is how difficult this struggle is. And there are reasons for this. Now, I read to you about the SAVE Act. I also had the privilege of being on the panel with Mrs. Denise Fairchild, who is the president and CEO of Emerald Cities Collaborative. And we reached out to her to try to get her on our show in the very near future to talk about what her organization does in trying to bring some, could we say, level the playing field around the economics of this industry. Now, when we begin to talk about the solar and renewable energy industry, looking at renewables, there are things called portfolios when you begin to talk about energy. And we have clearly laid out on our website a number of articles, which you can find under our news and events tab. And I'm just going to read the captions for these articles, and you can go to our website once again at positivechangepc.com. Click on our news and events tab, and you'll be able to scroll down. North Carolina approves solar rebate coal ash fine for Duke Energy. Exxon FE nuke closures will reverse. PJM Wind solar benefits in the Bartle report. U.S. Energy Secretary Rick Perry announces a $105 million new funding to advance solar technologies. The 2018 Community Power State and Scoreboard. Now, we're going to look at this particular article after we, as we say, sort of pause for the cause, and we'll be coming back to you on the airways of Solid Now and the future with its economic impact after we take a, as we say, slight music break here on this airways, on this platform, today. And for our listening audience, please remember that our calling number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that calling number is 646-668-2948. And if you would please press 1 on your phone pad, after dialing that calling number, we will be
able to life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you?
Sing it. You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing.
why don't you sing it?
Welcome back to the airways of Spoken Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And right before we took that short break, we were discussing a report which was published on March 2nd, 2018 by John Farrell, the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Each year, the Institute for Self-Reliance provides a scoreboard for each state's energy policies based on how they help or hinder local clean energy action. Now, I think that this work is very, very important as you begin to look at the fact that 35 to 50% of the African American population base resides in 10 southern states. And most of those states don't have what we call renewable portfolio standards. And for our listening audience, we don't have to use a whole bunch of technical jargon that people don't understand. As Brother Malcolm said, let's make it plain. Well, renewable portfolio standards simply means this. In your local area marketplace, you have a utility company, which is your major provider of energy. Here in the DMV market area, you have, of course, Pepco, a subsidiary of Exelon. Now, in that market area, the local state, county, city governments have the legislative power to pass what they call renewable portfolio standards. And in the District of Columbia in 2016, the District of Columbia increased its renewable portfolio standards from 5% to 50% by year 2032. That means that 50% of all the energy that is used in the District of Columbia must come from biomass, hydrogenetics, which is water, wind turbine, or solar energy. In the Maryland, looking at Maryland, Maryland has recently defeated their renewable energy portfolio bill was not passed because they were trying and attempting to increase the renewable portfolio standards from 5% in Maryland, increase it to 50% by year 2032. So let's look at the rankings of these different states. Out of the 50 states, you have 36 which have some form of renewable portfolio standards, regardless of how low they may be. And then you have 14 without anything. And as I indicated, each year the Institute for Solar Self-Reliance provides a scoreboard for each state energy policy based on how they help or hinder local energy action. In 2018, 21 states had a failing grade. Once again, in 2018, 21 states had a failing grade out of the 36 that this gentleman has ranked. 17 were mediocre, 11 had passing grades, and just 2 excelled at enabling residents to act individually and collectively to take advantage of their energy future. Alabama has a community power score of 2 out of 36. And the lower you go, the worse the number means. The higher you go, the better the number is. So it's not like you would think 1, 2, 3, 4 was at the top. 1, no. If you were, you in bad shape. So Alabama has a score of 2. The state allows communities to provide energy financing for commercial properties with property assets, clean energy, but lacks other significant policies to support local renewable energy development, including net metering, shared renewables, community solar, simplified grid interconnection policies, requirements for utilities to purchase and distribute renewable energy resources, and opportunities for communities to pick up their power supply. Now, when we began to look at Alaska, has a community power score of 6 out of 36. Although the state has net metering policies that allows communities to set building energy codes, it lacks wide range policies to support distributed renewable energy and local at the local authority. Arizona has a community power score of 11 out of 36. The state offers net metering and requires utilities for renewable procurement to include distributed resources, also allows cities to build energy codes. It does not allow communities to provide financing with property assets, clean energy to pick up their energy supplies, to encourage shared community renewables. The state grid interconnection policies are hindered distributed energy sources like rooftop solar. Now, Arkansas, a score of 8. California, score of 27. Colorado, a score of 21. And the reason why I'm just looking at giving you scores because I have a power-packed show today, and I'm going to try to get through as much of this information, and you can log on to our website, scroll down to the link, and you'll be able to get more details on this as I provide more detailed information with the first two states that I sort of read their full descriptions. Okay? Colorado, score of 21 out of 36. Connecticut, a score of 15 out of 36. The District of Columbia was rated 22 out of 36. Delaware, community power score of 13 of 36. Florida has a community score of 10 out of 36. Georgia has a score of 9 out of 36. Hawaii has a community power score of 19 out of 36. Idaho, community power score was 5 out of 36. Illinois has a community power score of 26 out of 36. Kansas has a community power score of 6 out of 36. Kentucky has a community score of 8 out of 36. Louisiana has a score of 7 out of 36. Maine has a community score of 12 out of 36. Maryland has a community score of 18 out of 36. Massachusetts has a power score of 30 out of 36. Michigan has a community power score of 14 out of 36. Minnesota, 18 out of 36. Mississippi has a community score of 7 out of 36. Missouri has a community score of 14 out of 36. Montana, 6 out of 36. North Carolina, 21 out of 36. North Dakota, 4 out of 36. Nebraska, 4 out of 36. New Hampshire, 18 out of 36. New Jersey, 25 out of 36. New Mexico, 16 out of 36. Nevada, 16 out of 36. New York, 29 out of 36. Ohio, 23 out of 36. Oklahoma, 7 out of 36. Oregon, 24 out of 36. Pennsylvania, 13 out of 36. Rhode Island, 22 out of 36. South Carolina, 13 out of 36. South Dakota, 3 out of 36. Tennessee, 1 out of 36. They bought up the bottom of the barrel. Texas, 5 out of 36. Utah, 12 out of 36. Brown, 21 out of 36. Virginia, 15. Washington State, 16 out of 36. West Virginia, 8 out of 36. Wisconsin, 8 out of 36. Wyoming, 9 out of 36. And that gives you the rankings according to this young man, who I think has done an outstanding job at breaking down what the public policies are in each state. And you can get this information by logging on to our website, once again, at PositiveChangePC.com, at PositiveChangePC.com. Now, we're going to sort of shift gears today because there's a lot of things going on. And one of the things that we try to do, as we say, we try to bring people news that they can definitely use. Now, as we began to look at what's going on around the nation and looking at the fact that the American Association of Blacks in Energy, they're hosting their annual conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, which will be running at the 21st through the 24th of this month. Now, we are going to check those dates, but we are aware of the fact that the National Action Network, which is headed by Reverend Al Sharpton, is in fact going on as we speak in New York. It started today, April 18th through the 21st. And the reason why I'm sort of shifting gears because I am a member of NAN, and I unfortunately will not be able to attend the national convention that they're hosting in New York because you hear me here working trying to bring you information on this renewable energy industry. As I said, news that you can definitely use. But you'll be able to go to our website and please click on our March archives and you'll be able to get the complete details of the convention and their schedule of events, which is located on our website at PositiveChangePC.com. Now, we've indicated we have a lot of information there and on our website. And for our young college students, we want them to be aware of that there are a number of internship programs, and I'm just going to sort of provide some of that information that we have, in fact, put into place to help our young people, because most of them are getting ready to graduate from college, and they're going to be out here in this marketplace under these conditions that we, under 45's administration, 45, everybody's trying to stay alive. I know it is more than just a slogan or something slick to say out your mouth. It's a struggle, and we understand that. So we try to provide in our website information on various summer intern programs that are available through the public and private sector, and we have that. Now, you have a federal diversity internship program, which is being announced. They're still trying to decide what to do for the summer. If you're still trying to decide what to do for the summer and you're looking for something other than the summer on campus or next fall, now is the perfect time to apply with the Federal Diversity Internship Initiative, where you can get paid internships with a federal agency. And the program offers opportunities for students in many fields. But those with interest in business, communications, engineering, and public administration will be a specially competitive area. They accept students that will have a chance to intern at one of the following agencies, including the Federal Aviation Administration, Consumer Protection Agency, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Center for Disease Control, U.S. Department of Health and Human Resources, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, U.S. Department of Treasury, U.S. Census Bureau, National Archives and Records Administration, and more. So this information is up on our website. Also, Federal Emergency Management Agency jobs and internships. This was, I just published this. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security invites you to participate in a federal emergency management job internship webinar, which will be held between 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on April 19th, which will be tomorrow. You can log on to our website. There's information about this webinar also on our website. And as I say, what we try to do, we have to try to make this show a sort of like a, when you go out and you're going to a buffet, we've got to put a little here and a little there to make it interesting, because our young people need jobs. So for me to just come on airways and talk statistics and this, that, and the other about what's going on with renewable energy and the impacts of climate change, fine, okay, now I still need a job, so what? So we try to bring information, as we say, news that you can definitely use, and we will definitely have provided this information, and so all you have to do is go to our website, and you'll be able to, in fact, take advantage of this information by logging on to positivechangepc.com. Once again, you can log on to positivechangepc.com, look under our news and events tab, and begin to click on our different archive links for the past months that we've produced our shows. And we have information in our database, which is very, very valuable. Now, as I said at the top of our show, we talked about the solar conference that was just held at the University of the District of Columbia. And I take my hat off to, if I had one on, to Mrs. Anna Schulman, who's the founder and CEO of Neighborhoods United, and you have there in a number of states. And there's an interesting article on how D.C. advocates made community solar a reality. Now, you have this information posted on our website, so we won't get long-winded about that, but you'll be able to go to our website, click on our March link, and you'll see a number of interesting articles, and I'm just basically looking at some of the videos that we have there. You'll find very, very educational. We've even put together a peace, positive change purchasing cooperative educational video gallery, where you'll be able to find, by looking at the subject title and the month, and you can go to our archives and can scroll down and find that particular video. I'm looking at one now with Mr. Sylvester Bush of Southeast Washington, D.C., who went solar, and I think he did an excellent job breaking down why he decided to go solar, what made him opt into going and joining a co-op, what advice he would give to someone considering going solar. And I think he did an excellent job in breaking things down. Now, you also find quite a bit of information on electric vehicles. Pennsylvania proposes to bolster EV charging infrastructure. The New South customer demands is showing utilities the dollars and cents of solar, which I have done a piece on this on one of our previous broadcasts, so I won't go into any more detail about that. A game-changing shift in the way power is provided. And you also be able to find out and look at a video on STEM for Infrastructure Workforce Summit, which was just put on by Kareem, who is an attorney here in Washington, D.C., who heads the STEM for Us program. Now, that will you information you will be able to find under our March link. Once you click on our February link, it gives you a whole new ball of wax. It talks about how Texas regulators have just did a $9.45 billion deal in the state of Texas, okay? And it talks about how the Texas Public Service Commission, Public Utility Commission, has placed a barrier in that, and it gets in, it's very detailed on that information. You also look at and find power companies pull workers from Puerto Rico as many remain without power, which I think is a disgrace to the human race, looking at how 45 administration has bundled and handled this national disaster with the storms that hit Houston, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Florida in our recent hurricane season that just passed. And believe me, as Brother Santiago Mustafa Ali, who is with the Hip Hop Caucus, who if you come to our website and look at our catalog, we had him on several weeks back, and he broke it down that we're going to be get a lot more of these storms with the impacts of climate change. And it talks about what is going on there. Also, we have some very, very interesting other data and information in there that deals with what is going on, as I indicated, in Puerto Rico. And as I said, the National Association of Blacks in Energy are hosting their conference in Las Vegas, and it will be running May 1st through the 4th in Las Vegas. And you will have Pro Football Hall of Famer, the Bus, Jerome Bennett, will be one of their keynote speakers at the convention that they'll be hosting in Vegas. If you can make it, I mean, that is a great trip. But I would like for our organizations to consider putting a lot more pressure on the powers that be at the Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C., EPA, and Congress, and the solar installation companies, trade associations, such as SEIA, to spend more money with African-American-owned newspapers, radio stations that have talk show formats such as the one you're listening to at the present time over the airways of Blog Talk Radio. This is so, now, and the future with this economic impact on Black America. Now, we're going to be doing a show in the very, very near future on the budding marijuana sector brings big, low growth efficiency challenges to utilities. And what this is addressing is talking about the amount of energy that weed growers are spending in the U.S. to grow marijuana. And this particular article went on to deal with the fact that with just a very few states legalizing marijuana and more states going will be doing this in the future, you have approximately 1% of all the energy that's consumed in the U.S. being used to grow marijuana. Marijuana growers, legally, they've had the data use, are spending $6 billion a year for energy to grow marijuana. We're talking about for illegal grow operations. So that tells you right there, they got the numbers and tell you how much money that they're spending in energy to grow marijuana, and they don't have legal operations. That means somebody knows how to find it. And that's one of your biggest issues, and how they have been able to track the growth of illegal growing operations by the use of energy. This is why a lot of the opportunities that are available in the market areas legally now, regardless of what state you are in, if you have farmland and you can go to the Department of Culture's website, and you will find that there's some grants there that will help you integrate putting a solar panel on your property. You can uplink this energy, and you can do public PPA agreements and cut deals with some of the grants, and they'll help you with the finances because they need the energy. And these are discussions that I am the only one on the airways talking about what we as African Americans need to be doing to generate the type of income we need in this capitalistic society. We need to be talking about this energy industry. We're talking about an industry, as I indicated, did $364 billion. According to the Roll Call of America in 2017, and solar generated $200 billion, and we have not even scratched the surface. So, as we have drilled down and brought you this program, once again, I hope that we brought news that you can definitely use here on the format of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And as we prepare,
life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. Life is a song worth singing.